Hey everyone, if you know me, you know that I've been investing in precious metals for many, many years. Once I realized that private banking cartels could drastically manipulate currencies, putting my family savings in jeopardy, I decided to take matters into my own hand and diversify our savings strategy. This is why I buy physical silver and gold and invest in metals through our Roth and 401k, and I only invest with Colonial Metals Group. CMG is the exclusive sponsor of the Shannon Joy Show, and they're helping me set up a safe and secure self-directed IRA where I have access to my assets no matter what the stock market, or for that matter, the government is doing. Let the team of experts at Colonial help you protect your family's future with an extra special offer just for the SJ audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705 0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver just for the SJ audience. Join me today and take back your power. Secure your wealth with Colonial Metals Group. Hello, friends, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio right here in the beautiful Finger Lakes region of upstate New York. It is so good to be with all of you tonight. It is Thursday, December 1st. We're kicking off the holiday season here on the Shannon Joy Show. If you're listening on News Radio WHAM 1180, thank you so much for listening tonight in Rochester, Western New York, Finger Lakes region, down the East Coast, up into Canada, and even a little bit into the Midwest. So good to be with all of you tonight. If you are listening on your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, etc., please share this with all of your friends. Thank you for listening tonight. And go ahead and give us a 5-star review if you like the show. It helps us grow. If you'd like to support the Shannon Joy Show, please consider going to theshannonjoy.com, theshannonjoy.com. It is my official website, and you can contribute and become an angel investor with the Shannon Joy Show. So many of you have done so in the past couple of weeks. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. You guys are amazing. So thrilled to welcome a brand new advertiser who will be starting with us in January of 2022. You know them, you love them. Hogan Willig Attorneys out of Buffalo, New York. Corey Hogan, we just secured the deal for sponsorship for next year, and I love those guys. Love those guys. If there is an attorney, if you're looking for an attorney that is not afraid to stand up to the vaccine pushers or the mask pushers or the lockdowners or any of those elite forces trying to suppress us, I cannot recommend more a firm than Hogan Willig. They have supported the Shannon Joy Show and me in terms of my arrest for failing to properly wear my mask at a school board meeting a year and a half ago, pro bono. They have given this program and free speech and independent broadcasting such enormous support. Corey called me the night I was arrested, and it was in the evening. I was terrified. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen with my kids. It was embarrassing and humiliating and awful and just a terrible night that evening when I was arrested at my local school board meeting. Created a lot of strife within our community and within the village. And, I'm willing to take that on to stand up for what I believe to be principles and truth, right? But that doesn't mean it isn't scary. And that evening, I felt very alone. Got a phone call from James Minner and Corey Hogan, and they said, "We've got you. We will take care of you. You will not pay us any money, whatever you need." And oh my gosh, they've been with me ever since, and I just can't thank them enough. And so I'm so excited that they're going to come on as sponsors of the show. Just amazing people. Hogan Willig, you're going to be hearing ads from them. And I do believe as we look at some of these court cases move forward, federal court cases across the country, we've had a lot of wins. We are very close to establishing that Pfizer and Moderna and the FDA and the CDC committed fraud during the clinical trial period as they were testing the COVID-19 vaccines. And this is now coming out in court cases. It is very likely that this will be established. When that happens, it will open the floodgates to vaccine injury lawsuits. And there are attorneys working on that as I speak, our good friend Ben Carlisle is also working on litigation for workmen's compensation. If your employer forced you to get a vaccine and you were injured, we're beginning to see some very early successes in workmen's compensation cases, even here in New York State. And so these attorneys, those who were with us at the beginning, right? Not the ambulance chasing, blood sucking lawyers that are going to jump on this the second they have the opportunity to do so and make a buck. No, you want to go with the people who were standing up with small restaurants that were closed down, businesses that were closed down, youth athletic programs that were closed down, my radio show, my arrest. You want to find the people who were there at the beginning, the people who were standing up when no one else would. And one of those people is Corey Hogan. So welcome to the family. Corey, so glad to have you here as a sponsor on the Shannon Joy Show. We are growing, guys. Very, very exciting. I'll fill you in next week, but we are rocking and rolling with the platforming. 5,000 downloads in 12 days, and it's only growing. The rate of growth on all of the listening on the platforms that we have set up for online on-demand listening is astounding. And so there's a lot more I need to do to platform the show and set up the monetization and just get everything set up and ready to go. But I'm continuing with this goal of trying to get the show video with a studio on Rumble by the end of January. That might be a little bit ambitious, but it's good to set goals. And so thank you to all of you who are helping us get there. Again, a combination of direct audience support from the listeners, those of you who listen to the program and appreciate what we do here, and also our sponsors and also our advertisers could not do it. This is what it means to be truly independent. I am blessed and thankful to be independent. I would much rather have independence than money. I would much rather make a very modest income and, you know, not go through the stratosphere. You know, some people aim for superstardom or this or that. I do not. I like what I'm doing right here. I would like to grow the radio program, but the independence is everything. It's everything. It is more precious than gold, and I have all of you to thank for that. So let's get started. We have a lot to get to today in the program. We're going to slow things down a little bit. I have a couple different angles that I want to take, a couple different headlines I'd like to look at, and a dispute within the medical freedom movement between a very well-known and beloved character, Dr. Peter Breggin, and another very well-known and beloved character, Dr. Robert Malone. It's not as much about the dispute between the two of them. There's now a lawsuit involved, which threatens the freedom movement. And that's what we don't want. But the underlying issue that caused the divide in the first place, the issue with Matthias Desmet, the psychologist that coined this concept of mass formation psychosis, this phenomenon in which everyone seems to have gone lost their damn minds, right? During COVID, early days of COVID, people are wearing 17 masks on their faces. They are getting double, triple, quadruple jabs. They keep getting sick with COVID-19, but they get more. The absurdity of social distancing, the 6 feet, the plastic barriers, the lockdowns, all of it. We just lost our minds. We lost our minds, right? And Matthias Desmet came forward with a hypothesis and a theory that was called mass formation psychosis, which people really took to because it made a lot of sense of what seemed to be very senseless at the time. I'm a big fan of his work. I read his book. I think it's good. Dr. Breggin took issue with it. We're going to touch on that a little bit later in the program because I think it's a very important issue. So we're going to hit that in a little bit. Revolution across the globe. In Australia, the protests are turning out again. We're seeing continued protests in China, unprecedented. The amount of courage necessary for these individuals in the totalitarian nation of China is unbelievable. Unbelievable. They face imprisonment, death camps, you name it. Yet they continue to turn out and protest, and it's working. We're going to look at a piece from Igor Chudov. China is now backing off of the latest round of lockdown attempts, which is extraordinary when you think about it. So we're going to look at a short piece from Igor Chudov. His Substack is a great follow, by the way. I really appreciate his work. In addition, tomorrow, I know I promised Lily Tang Williams for yesterday. Her schedule got changed up. She's going to be with us tomorrow. So Lily Tang Williams is a regular contributor on The Shannon Joy Show. She's been with me for almost a decade. She was one of my first interviews when I started the show so many years ago. And she's an absolutely, positively trusted source. Very consistent. You know that I look for consistency in my guests and in the resources that I present to all of you. Lily is phenomenal. And she is a Chinese national. She was born in China, lived in China, went through Mao's Cultural Revolution as a young girl. She was part of the Red Guard. She escaped from China when she was 18 years old, came to the United States of America. Took 10 years for her to break free from the indoctrination, which is a really interesting story that she's told on this program for quite some time. And she is going to be on the show tomorrow to talk about what is happening in China. Very important developments. And this liberty movement, the freedom movement, the pushback against this global tyranny, against this new type of technological oppression, right? Rule by the machine that we're seeing in nations across the globe and very seriously in China. I mean, the ESG scores, the social compliance that is necessary in China and deployed by technology and the use of the iPhones and the smartphones and the technology. It is probably the most advanced in China. And so it is good for the world. It is good for freedom in general to support the people in China who are standing up against this. And to think that it's just impossible and they can never win their freedom, they can't fight for their freedom, I don't think is the case. And there are people like Lily Tang Williams who are going to speak to that. So she will be with us tomorrow. First-hand sources. She has people on the ground in China who are going to give you the truth about what is going on there. Very important, important story. But in addition, first, what we're going to do. Yeah, and so this is, let me just hit this first, though. This is from Igor Chudov from his Substack. And you can follow him on Twitter as well. China lifts lockdowns and shows at the same time that protests work. He asked the question, are protests useless? You hear this all the time. Why are you standing on the street corner? Why are you protesting? It's useless. Well, protesting isn't useless at all, in my opinion. It's one part of a larger recipe for civic action. It's not everything. You don't protest every time something bad happens, but it is necessary. From my perspective, the protests are very important in connecting the freedom fighters and the people who are willing to put some skin in the game. When the protests come together, those are the people who eventually are going to do things in the community. And I've witnessed this with my own eyes. We began protesting here in Rochester, New York against lockdowns on May 1st, 2020. The 100 or 200 so people that were with me on that day, downtown Rochester, protesting lockdowns are the same people who are now embedded in local communities across Western New York and Monroe County. And they're not on street corners anymore. They're in the boardrooms. They're in the legislative offices. They've formed groups. They've formed unions. They've formed organizations. They're raising money. They're running for political office. They're running for local office. They're supporting candidates who are running for local office. They're poll watchers. Right? So you can't look at a protest and just scoff at it like, you losers, why are you going to do that? It doesn't work. Protests are incredibly important. They're not everything, but they're important. And so to answer Igor's question, yeah, protests are important. They're not useless at all. And sometimes they actually work for political change in this case. He writes, the recent events in China show that protesting works even in crazy totalitarian countries where the state has near total WEF style, World Economic Forum style control of a population. China is lifting its lockdowns, and he has it linked to the article, and is even now pretending that the COVID measures, the lockdown measures, weren't imposed by the federal government in China. They were imposed by the local government. The authorities in China are now even pretending that the science has changed and the virus has become milder. Amazing how science changes overnight, right after weeks of relentless protesting. Congratulations to the people of China. They have a lot of courage, a lot more courage than a lot of people, sadly, here in the United States of America. Make sure you tune in tomorrow to the show. Lily Tang Williams will be with me on the Shannon Joy Show to go into this topic at a much deeper level. Keep it tuned right here, folks. We'll be back on the Shannon Joy Show. Topic number two tonight on the Shannon Joy Show, Elon Musk. Most of you know, if you have listened to this show for quite some time, that I'm very wary of Elon Musk. Keeping the fella at an arm's length, I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. I don't know if that was just my instincts. I've never been into all the technology or the Tesla or going to the moon. It's just not my cup of tea. I'm not a fangirl, never have been, but he comes in with this whole Twitter thing and I like what he's doing. I like what he's doing. It's very important. Let's preface this discussion. Very important what Elon Musk has done in terms of opening up free speech on this very important platform, Twitter. Now, he hasn't completely opened free speech. It is Thursday, December 1st, and as of the recording of this broadcast podcast right now, I am still permanently suspended with my original account on Twitter. Dr. Peter McCullough is still permanently suspended on Twitter, along with Dr. Robert Malone. These are high profile. I'm peanuts. I'm small potatoes, okay? Dr. Peter McCullough is a big potato, and so is Dr. Robert Malone, and so is Steve Kirsch and Naomi Wolf and Daniel Horowitz and many of the very early COVID-19 lockdown dissenters, and that seems to be where the line is drawn. A lot of people are getting their accounts back. Even Donald Trump has gotten his account back. Juanita Broderick has gotten her account back. But it is those who were very influential and very important in the very early dark days of COVID-19 lockdowns who saw what this was from the very beginning. These are the individuals who continue to be suppressed on Twitter. Why is that? Now, we've been reaching out. I have applied. I've gone through all of the appropriate, you have to send an email and log into the old account. You have to write, a little letter. I'd like to have my account, back, yada, yada, yada. So I've done all of that and still suspended. So I'm a little bit wary of where this is going, right? At the very least, the most basic level with the whole Elon Musk thing, I don't like the idea of one billionaire holding in his hand the future and the fate of free speech in the United States of America and across the globe. I don't know about all of you, but that seems a little precarious, okay? You don't want to put all of your eggs in one basket, so to speak. So the fact that the America First kind of conservative ink, the movement, people that I hang out with a lot, have just jumped on to the Elon Musk train so quickly is of a little bit of concern to me. It seems that Elon is the new shiny white knight on a stallion for conservatives and Republicans and MAGA people to kind of glom onto and worship as the savior of the United States of America. And that's just not, from my opinion, rational, right? There is no one person that is going to save us. They can't save us. They don't think about us or care about us. We have to save ourselves. That comes in a lot of different steps, in a lot of different ways, but primarily taking responsibility independently as individuals at the local level for our freedom and for protecting our freedom and doing things every week in the area of civics, probably for the rest of our lives, to protect those freedoms for our children, right? It's very unsexy, okay? You can't make a movie out of that, of Americans just, you know, showing up at the zoning meeting. It's not sexy. It's not going to play on a movie screen. But I'm here to tell you that's basically, from my perspective, after observing and looking for patterns for 10 years, that's what I do. I observe politics. I sit outside of it. I'm an independent, not a Republican or a Democrat. I have a lot of criticism for both ends of that the political spectrum. But I see my job as observing politics and politicians, the news of the day, and looking for patterns. And this is what I come away with. The pattern that we have fallen into in the United States of America is, number one, hating people with a different letter behind their name. So if you're an R or a D, you're supposed to hate each other and never talk about anything ever, ever. There's no such thing as civil discourse. We can agree on this or disagree on this topic and still be civil with one another, friendly with one another, helpful with another. You know, that's out the window, right? And we all participate every 2 to 4 years in rigged, flawed elections with blatant fraud happening. Choosing between two candidates from two different political parties who essentially, when they get in office, act the exact same way. They protect the system. They protect the elites. They protect the bureaucracies and the infrastructure in their own, to the detriment of regular people living in regular towns and villages and cities across the United States of America. They're fleecing us, dividing us, abusing us on a daily basis. And we shuffle into the election booth and we pull the lever. And that's the pattern. So I look at something like that and I watch it and witness it. And what I see grow out of that is angst, anxiety, frustration, bitterness, and then apathy. Nothing matters. I don't matter. Nothing I say or do matters. These elections don't matter. I'm giving up. And that's what I have observed. Both sides of the political aisle, to be honest. And so when you see a pattern, do you do the same thing over and over? And over and over and over. No, that is the definition of insanity. So we don't want to do that. This is why I have been such an evangelist for localism, right? And this idea that we should not tether ourselves or worship politicians or billionaires or corporations or corporatists or media figures or Hollywood movie stars. We shouldn't do that. How does that help us in any way? You can admire them, respect them for what they've achieved or done, or you can like the things that they say or do. I really like most of what Elon Musk has done with Twitter, but I have a lot of reservations. And this latest from Elon Musk last night in an announcement confirms my reservations. I never discount when I have like that gut feeling. I don't always go with it, but I don't discount it. I had a gut feeling about Elon Musk, and I'm telling you, not liking it. This is from Zero Hedge. It's making its way around Twitter. I've commented on this on Twitter, and it's making a little bit of hay. Here's a headline from Zero Hedge. Elon Musk is confident that his brain chip company, Neuralink, can begin human trials in 6 months. We have been talking about transhumanism. We have been talking about Bill Gates. We have been talking about genetically altering human beings and some of the dystopian ideas that are posited by these techno freaks at the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab. We don't like any of this when it comes from Bill Gates. We don't like it when it comes from Klaus Schwab or from one of the globalist organizations that we oppose. But when it comes from Elon Musk, the transhumanism, well, then I guess we're all just going to accept it. People are very excited about this. Brain chips. in your brain, chips, microchips in your brain. I don't know. I'm just not into it. Here's from the article on Zero Hedge. At a live streamed event on Wednesday, Elon Musk announced that Neuralink Corp's coin-sized brain chip could be implanted in human heads for clinical trials within the next 6 months. Here's his statement. We want to be extremely careful and certain that it will work before putting a device into a human, but we've submitted, I think, most of our paperwork to the FDA because, yes, we can certainly, given our experience with the FDA and Operation Warp Speed and their relationship with Pfizer and Moderna and the fact that they are essentially owned by the pharmaceutical corporations, I am sure that we can fully trust the FDA, given the lawsuit launched by Brooke Anderson out of Texas, which shows gross negligence and outright fraud in the approval of the COVID-19 vaccines for adults and children, for that matter. So yes, by all means, let's forget about all that and deploy the FDA again, this time for brain chips. In about 6 months, we should be able to upload Neuralink into a human, said Musk during the event at the company's headquarters in Fremont, California. Neuralink's brain-computer interface, it's called a BCI, get to know that term, guys, it's coming, is a small chip implanted in a human's head to allow a person suffering from a debilitating condition, blah, 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 such as the after effects of a stroke or whatever. And it can also be used to communicate with their thoughts. Yeah, nothing to see there. No way that, you know, could pose any problems in the future. Communicate with their thoughts. Maybe mind control. Every single freaking conspiracy theory that people come up with is coming true. Now, the problem though here, and the big problem is that the right conservatives love Elon Musk right now, and they look at him as if he's a savior. And so this is the difficulty. I will tell you, the person out there who hates microchips in your brain when Bill Gates suggests it, but loves them when Elon Musk suggests it, is the exact same person who loved COVID vaccines back in the Operation Warp Speed days when Donald Trump was pimping them from the White House, but hates them now that Joe Biden is in control and running the FDA, right? You loved Fauci when he worked for Donald Trump, but you hate Fauci when he works for Joe Biden. This is the mindset that we're dealing with. This is why we are in the pickle we're in today in this country, because too many of us do not consider facts or principles. They don't matter. It's tribal. We love Elon Musk. He saved Twitter. He brought Donald Trump back to Twitter. And so it doesn't matter what he says or does. It doesn't matter that we opposed the initiatives that he is pushing now, 6 months ago, we will embrace them. Too many people will embrace them. And I hope that that isn't the case, but I've already seen a little bit of evidence of that. But this is a little troublesome. I just don't want the chip. I think it's crazy. And I know there are people out there, Shannon, you're such a Luddite. Don't you know this is just the way things are going? This is just technology. Well, you know, not all technology needs to be embraced. That doesn't make me a Luddite. I just don't like it. I don't want it. It's weird. It's dangerous, in my opinion. He's promised that human trials are going to start in the first half of 2023. And revealed that two other BCIs could be attached to the spinal cord to restore movements in terms of paralysis. Thanks for listening to The Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. As you all know, the Joy family is super sporty. We all play volleyball. The kids are playing beach volleyball in the summer, high school volleyball in the fall. And right now we are traveling across the country almost every weekend, different city every weekend, playing club volleyball. And the kids need good nutrition. Very difficult to be healthy on the road. Sometimes they're playing, you know, up to 5 games a day, 10 games in a weekend. And they need the vitamins and minerals. They need the nutrition. And I'm so thrilled to partner up with Field of Greens so that they can get all of the vitamins and the nutrients and the nutrition that they need to supplement their regular diet and keep them full of energy and healthy on the court. Also, healing after these long tournaments is really important. And the product line over at Field of Greens is fantastic. It is an easy way to make sure that your family is getting the nutrients that they need, all natural, every single day. Go to fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com. And plug in the promo code Shannon. You can check out their whole lineup of products. And if you put in that promo code Shannon, you'll get 15% off your order. So we're super excited to partner up with them and looking forward to a super healthy 2023. I don't know, guys. One of the presentation's highlights was a video of a monkey telepathically typing on a screen with a BCI implant. To be clear, he's not actually using a keyboard. He's moving the cursor with his mind to the highlighted key. Now, technically, he can't actually spell it. So I don't want to oversell this thing, but that's our next vision. At Brown University, they recently said they're doing research on this. Using a brain-computer interface, a clinical trial participant was able to create a text on a computer at a rate of 90 characters per minute just by thinking about the movements involved in writing by hand. I think there's a lot of danger in that. And I know that there are going to be a lot of people out there who like technology and they think it's really cool. And I'm not against people using this, I suppose, if they want to. But the problem is they come up with this stuff and they just don't use it in people who want it. They push it on everyone else. Hey, have you heard of Operation Warp Speed? Have you heard of the mRNA spike protein laden toxic vaccines that were forced on people? See, that's the issue. I don't care if they study this stuff. I don't care if they make this technology. Elon can implant chips in his own brain for all I care. I really don't care. The problem is they never stop there. They never stop there. It's always profit motive, profit driven. They always want more. They have God complexes and they can't stop themselves. And that makes them very dangerous to regular people like me. I'm just a squirrel trying to get a nut, okay? I don't want chips in my brain. I don't want genetic alterations in my body. When it's my time to go, I want to go. I want to have my children. I want to decorate my house. I want to cook food, plant a garden. I don't know, have some grandchildren and then die. That's what I want. Is that so wrong? Really? Well, you don't understand, Shannon, the future of technology. I don't want it. I don't want it. And I'm, frankly, a little sick and tired of people shoving this on me as if I'm some kind of reprobate or moron for not wanting to indulge in all of this. I don't want this stuff in my body. And I prefer that it's out of the bodies of my children. You do you. Go for it. And so we have to screw our heads on. And that's why if it were me, I would probably oppose this type of research because they cannot be trusted to keep it in a box. That's the problem. If they could be trusted to keep it in a box and not force it on everyone else, I'd be all for it. But because they can't and they've proven themselves to me, these megalomaniac lunatics who are running things right now, then no, I'm not going to support it. And that's just how I feel about that. All right, we'll be back in a moment on the Shannon Joy Show. Elon Musk dressed up in a Baphomet costume for Halloween, which is like demonic. You can't make this stuff up. Why? He probably doesn't even know what it means, but he probably does. He's really smart. Like, don't kill the messenger here. I didn't dress up as a demonic deity for Halloween. I'm just reporting on it. Like, I don't get it. It's not my fault he's dressing up as a demon for Halloween, which is weird. These people are just so weird. This is why we should not place all of our hopes and dreams and fears in the future of humanity, the future of the country, the future of free speech into the hands of very few people. Now, Elon Musk's bigger play here, the larger agenda, and I talked about this with Dr. Robert Malone a little over a month ago. By the way, Dr. Malone will be on the show again, not next week, but the week after. Really looking forward to having a conversation with him pre-Christmas. We had a conversation about Elon Musk's bigger plan, and he's very open in a closed sort of way. Most people don't know this, but the larger scheme here for Elon Musk is to use Twitter and the data that has been collected on Twitter and the base of Twitter users to build a massive all-in-one online community and retail space. So we're talking media, obviously, which is already happening on Twitter, but also finance, banking, healthcare, distribution, also telecommunications, and retail. And all of this comes through like the Twitter. It's an all-in-one. So it's no wonder that he's going after Apple right now. That's the telecom aspect of this. And he's saying, oh, well, Apple's being mean to us because they're not putting us on, or they're threatening to take us off of the online app store. So we're just going to start an Elon Musk Tesla phone. And he's going to use this to sell you phones. And he'll likely go after Amazon. Amazon's not nice because they're banning this or that, my book, who knows, whatever it is. And then he'll offer up his equivalent to Amazon. He's like the antithesis. He's like the anti-Bill Gates, the anti-Mark Zuckerberg, the anti-Bezos of Amazon. And now he's going to set himself up and, you know, gather all of the disaffected, the MAGA people, the Republicans and the conservatives. They're going to like dump into his business plan. And then he'll probably, you know, cut your knees out afterwards. Right? So he's the anti-Bill Gates end of this Hegelian dialectic false choice paradigm that we are mired in right now in this country, where we're constantly forced to make false choices. Well, you can have Bill Gates or Elon Musk. I don't want either. You can have a Republican or a Democrat. Well, you're not any different. You do the same things. And the things that you do are fleecing my family, destroying our prospects, our businesses, our livelihoods. Yet we keep getting offered up these false choices. You have to reject the false choice. And that's the essence of the Hegelian dialectic. It's actually on purpose. It's a thesis and an antithesis. And it came from Hegel, who I believe was a socialist, and they crafted this concept of the Hegelian dialectic, which is essentially a false choice. So my kids come home from school and I'm making dinner and I want them to have a vegetable. So I say to them, would you like peas or carrots for dinner? And they think, oh, well, I get to choose. They get the illusion of a choice. But at the end of the day, I get what I want. They're eating a vegetable. It's a false choice. Now, it's okay for moms to do that to the kids because the kids need to eat their vegetables. And we're not operating in a constitutional republic with elements of democracy here in the Joy family household. So you're allowed to do that. And by kid, you know, kids don't know what's good for them. But see, they think that we don't know what's good for us. And that's why they pushed democracy, right? Because then we get a choice. And we get the illusion of a choice. And we think we have some control. And that keeps us from revolting. From full-on revolt. And so they hold up the Republican and they hold up the Democrat and they battle it out, their talking heads in the boxes on CNN and Fox News over and over and over. They divide the country. But at the end of the day, what are they both doing? They're protecting the money, the power, the system, and they're also growing it. Now, this wasn't the case in the United States of America for many, many years. But it has gotten worse and worse, particularly in the last 30 to 40 years, as this has accelerated and it has become more clear. The Hegelian dialectic is a thing. It is deployed. It is used. It's designed to give you a false choice, but it keeps you on the plantation. Thanks for listening to The Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. Hey guys, I am so psyched to be working with the folks over at Colonial Metals Group. You guys know that I am all about personal empowerment, never living in fear or waiting for some politician to save you. Being at the whim of the stock market or the current administration does not make me feel safe or secure. But having a self-directed IRA where I can safely store physical gold and silver, assets that have stood the test of time, makes a lot of sense to me. Let the team of experts at CMG help you protect your family's future. Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe you're already in a 401k or an IRA, or maybe you're thinking about your parents' retirement. Regardless of your situation, Colonial Metals Group can help. We put together a special offer for this audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705-0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver. Don't sit around waiting for a politician to save you. Save yourself, protect your wealth, and call Colonial Metals Group today. They always win. The dealer always wins in this game. This is why we have to toss the board. Peacefully, of course. With our voices and with civic action at the local level. That's the answer. All right? They can't, when people wake, their power right now is that people are not awake to this. They don't see it. But once you see it, you can't unsee it. If you look at politics, if you're wondering why politics doesn't make sense, and it hasn't made sense for the past 20 years, it is because you are looking at it through the wrong lens. You're looking at it through a lens that believes there are really two different sides and they really do oppose each other on this, 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 and this, and it really is a choice. If you look at politics through the lens of a WWE wrestling match, or Kabuki theater, and you say there are two parties, they're owned by some like kind of uber dark party up top. We don't really know who it is. It's like the money people, right? You'll never know their names. They control things. They control the politicians. They write the bills for the politicians. They finance their campaigns. They deploy the get out the vote on the boots, on the ground people during election time. They write the white papers, the copy points. They set everything up. The politicians are just, you know, talking heads, most of them. Some of them aren't. Ron Johnson's fantastic. Chip Roy is amazing. Liking Ron DeSantis, right? They might be outside of the system a little bit. But in general, if you look at it through the paradigm that both of these political parties are full of play actors, and those play actors are supposed to oppose the other side, and they do it very well and with a lot of conviction, and most of them, here's another little secret, are too stupid to know that this is the way things are. They just think they're brilliant and powerful, whatever, but they're highly manipulated, you know, and some of them know that it's a game and they just play it. They don't care. I mean, I don't know every one of them, so you can't know where they're coming from. But at the end of the day, when you look at it through that paradigm, everything makes sense. Everything in politics will make sense for you. Everything. Because you will now be aware of the false choices that you are offered up. And this is why conservatives often get very angry with me, because I point this out. I try not to point it out during election season because, I mean, it's off with your head if you do that. So, you know, during election season, I just quiet right down. I don't say anything and, you know, let people do their thing. But from my perspective, this is the truth. You can disagree with me. A lot of people do. But again, as I mentioned in the last segment, what I've done over the past 10 years, I observe. I watch very closely. I read the bills. I look for the discernible policy outcome. I listen to what people say, and then I watch what they do. I listen to what Donald Trump said, and then I watch what he actually does. And for the most part, it's the total opposite. When you get down to the nitty gritty, this type of analysis is not popular. It doesn't play. I know that. It's why I'm small. and other conservative commentators are big. And guess what? I'm okay with that too. I don't want to be big. I'd much rather come here and be able to tell you the truth every day as an independent than have to do it the other way around. I'm blessed to be able to do that. And I understand a lot of people don't agree with me. I'd love to hear from you. TheShannonJoyShow@gmail.com. TheShannonJoyShow@gmail.com is where you can provide commentary, feedback, questions. I love to hear from you guys. I can't always get back to everyone. I get a lot of mail, but I will certainly do my best. Didn't mean to go down that rabbit hole, the Hegelian dialectic. It just went there, but that's okay. Freestyling a little bit. When we come back, I'm going to try to begin to set up this this issue that I have at this point with the fellow named Dr. Peter Bregan, who I will concede has done a lot of great things, but there's one area where I really want to challenge him. I'd like to have him on the program to talk about it. We're not going to have a ton of time to do that, but we will try to hit it potentially tomorrow or on Monday. We'll be back in a moment on The Shannon Joy Show. I mentioned in the last segment that I'm thrilled to welcome Dr. Robert Malone on The Shannon Joy Show. He'll be with us again. He's become a regular on the show, and I feel so blessed to be able to present him and ask him questions about what's going on within the medical community here in the United States of America. As I mentioned with Dr. Peter McCullough earlier this week, these medical doctors, they really are at the forefront of the liberty movement. The freedom movement cannot be separated from what is going on within the medical community, because so much of our freedom is about what is going to happen or what will be forced into or onto our bodies. And so necessarily we need medical doctors and scientists and sociologists and psychologists and statisticians and all of these brilliant people that Dr. McCullough and Dr. Malone hang out with. We need them to make sense of all of this from a scientific perspective and a medical perspective. So huge, huge blessing. And they're doing a lot of work. So he will be with us in a couple weeks. I want to mention there is now, it's becoming a little bit more, it's being covered a little bit more within conservative media and within specifically that medical freedom movement. This dispute between Dr. Peter Bregan, who has been within like the conservative movement for a very long time, is very well respected. People love him. And also Dr. Robert Malone, who people love as well. And I think that the dispute is actually more, it's more not, it, the two of them are not even as involved in this, I think, as the major issue, which I want to begin to explain to all of you so you guys know what's going on. I think this is going to be fine. I think that this is going to get worked out. And I hope that it gets worked out, because I think it's more of a misunderstanding than anything else. But I'll talk about it. I know that they're not going to talk about it because there are some legalities involved. But from my perspective, what I can gather, this started about 6 or 7, maybe 8 months ago. And I mentioned Matthias Desmet and his theory of mass formation psychosis. And it's this idea that a society, a group of people, it really is a psychological explanation for the mob, right? Groupthink, these crazy mobs in history, throughout history, you see examples of large groups of people just going freaking crazy and committing atrocities and doing, you know, and we have examples of those. And so, you know, this is Dr. Matthias Desmet's psychological kind of clinical explanation of the phenomenon and how it related to COVID-19 lockdown and the ensuing tyranny and why people complied with it. It's a very important concept, right? Because the biggest problem with COVID-19 and the lockdown was the mask compliance. Masking was an absurdity. Lockdowns, it were an absurdity. The science didn't support it. The deadly nature that they were purporting of COVID-19, the virus, never materialized. It was never, ever, ever more dangerous than a normally occurring seasonal flu, right? So the data was there from almost the beginning, yet everyone went bananas. Bananas. To the point of mass injection of an experimental, we now know, toxic vaccination that is wreaking havoc, deadly havoc on humanity. People willingly and willfully injected themselves with poison. Vaccines that were not tested. At the very least, you could say reasonably that, well, they haven't been tested long enough. You can't do a long-term safety study because there's no long-term. I mean, that's just basic common sense. And that should have omitted 50 to 60% of a rationally thinking population of people, but it didn't. And so Desmet posited this theory of mass formation psychosis. I think it was a great theory. I covered it on my program. Malone came on to talk about it. I read his book. It was good. I like it. I think that there is a lot of merit there. There are certain areas that I didn't necessarily agree with him on, but there wasn't anything that was, you know, terrible. Well, Dr. Bregan came out with very strong criticism of this theory and of Matthias Desmet himself, to the point of kind of accusing Desmet of being controlled opposition or a deep state role player, right? That came in to deceive people and distract people, this and that, whatever. And which I think was completely unmerited. And I've done a lot of research into this. I've looked a lot into it. I've been commenting on Twitter about it as well. I have listened to multiple interviews from Dr. Bregan, who I would love to have on this program to talk about this. I had a full conversation with Dr. Malone on my program about this about 8 or 10 weeks ago. If you want to go back into the archives at theshannonjoy.com to listen to that, I've looked at this issue, and I find very little in Bregan's analysis to merit the attack on Matthias Desmet. So what happened after that is that Dr. Malone defended, you know, Dr. Desmet, and then we have a Dr. Feud. Dr. Feud 2022, which is not good for the freedom music movement. We don't want to do that. I found the centerpiece of Bregan's criticism lies in the fact that Matthias Desmet states that the people are responsible, right? Because of the free-floating anxiety and all of these external factors, the people, the little people like you and me, we were set up and we carried out in compliance great atrocities, right? So the doctors who refused to give vitamin D or vitamin C or hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin and people died, right? They were following orders because A, B, or C, they're scared, they're confused, they're manipulated, whatever. But it all played into the theory. And Bregan took great... Bregan criticized that. He said, well, no, it's not the people's fault. It's the elites. It's the people at the top. They're abusing the people, and the people aren't at fault. Regular people, the bureaucrats and the local leaders and the citizens and the doctors and the nurses in the community, none of them are at fault. It's these evil elites in towers who are doing this to them. And he uses Hitler as an example. And when he used Hitler as an example, and I'm talking about Dr. Bregan, that's when I really had to say, you know what? This is a very, very dangerous idea that needs to be challenged. Because I've done a lot of research. I've read a lot of books on the Holocaust and on genocide. And it was not Hitler that killed the Jews in concentration camps during the Holocaust. It was a compliant local population. It was a combination of bureaucrats, corporatists, local leaders, doctors, and nurses in institutions who carried out every bit of the killing. Hitler didn't kill a single person. It was a community of people in Germany, regular people with families who looked the other way and ignored it. And so you cannot have a reasonable discussion about this if you omit responsibility to a very key player, and that is we the people. That's not to say that Adolf Hitler and his military generals and people in high positions of power don't hold responsibility. Of course they do. But you cannot take away the responsibility of the individual, people at the local level who stood by and watched it happen. And the reason this is important is because that sentiment that Bregan wants to push on us is the core of apathy. It is the core sentiment that keeps people from standing up and speaking out when they see something happening that is wrong. It is the It is the opposite of individualism. It is the opposite of being civic minded. And it is why precisely people stand by and do nothing. And this is why I felt the necessity to challenge it. And I will continue to challenge it. And I would invite Dr. Breggin to come on my show to talk about this because I think it's a very important topic. And I have a great amount of respect for him. And I really want to make sure that we get this right. All right. So that's the long explanation. I went a little bit over. Hope you guys have a wonderful night. We've run out of time. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all again on the Shannon Joy Show. Hey, everyone. Shannon Joy for Connecta Mobile. So when I started my show 10 years ago, I would talk to my friends about privacy and the Fourth Amendment, and they would look at me like I had three heads. Now, fast forward to 2024, post-COVID, and everyone is talking about privacy. We are freaked out by AI, grossed out by government surveillance, and very aware that data is the new gold. Combine that with the new reality that your whole life and all of your data is on your phone and in the palm of your hands, making you a sitting duck for common hackers, corporate hustlers, or government spies. Are you going to let them get away with that? Well, I'm not. And that's why I use my Connecta mobile phone as the official business phone for Joy Media. That's because Connecta is the only phone company that specializes in security and privacy above all else. Call Connecta Mobile today and talk to a real person who lives in the United States about securing your devices and communications for as little as $35 a month. Their basic plan includes device encryption, encrypted text and data, also a free phone. That's just the beginning. Call 941-246-2156 to talk to a representative. That's 941-246-2156. Or go to phone123.com/joy today. That's phone123.com/joy. Get securely connected today only with Connecta.